T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This week is all about backroom deals and preying on the stupid teams.
This draft is going to get weird.
Yep.
It would not stun me one bit to see a lot of these teams continue to trade down.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness, celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on a Tuesday afternoon on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. And we are just over 2 days away from the NFL draft, which means, ladies and gentlemen, is smokescreen season. Nothing being said right now has any actual value to it. It's all lies and obfuscation.
Did you hear what the Arizona Cardinals, they had their presser yesterday with their GM and Jonathan Gannon. No farts were had. But a reporter asked a question about like their top 40 board or something, and the GM just like goes on like a 40-second verbal vomit.
Just word salad.
Just sits there and just says something, and then he ends, and Gannon goes, "You didn't really think you were going to get anything out of him, did you?" Like, of course we're not going to tell you what our board looks like, pal. It is, everything is just hunkering down, and we have more and more of this team wants to move up, this team wants to move down. I still believe that we're going to have so much action in the first round, trade-wise, movement-wise, because of the fact that you have teams that have massive holes that you need top-end talent, and in a deep class, you're going to be willing to move down in the first round to acquire second-round picks. Because if you need two really important positions, you can fill those relatively, especially if they're offensive line or wide receiver, which is crazy to think about. Offensive line is loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have six tackles and two centers go in the first round.
Particularly on the interior offensive line.
That is nuts to think about, where after all of the griping from the NFL, college football isn't developing linemen that translate to the NFL. No.
Here's all of them.
You haven't adapted your scheme. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why these linemen work now is because the trickle-up of scheme has gotten to the NFL, and it is a lot more collegiate style. Mm-hmm. And you're not asking the offensive linemen in the NFL to solely do only things that have been traditionally NFL for years and years.
Five and seven-step drop and you pass are, pro for... You know, 35 times a game.
It started with like the proliferation of zone scheme. And then you had, all right, now we're going to run some read option stuff that makes it a lot easier when we have one guy who's unblocked. And then we're going to add RPOs to the game. It has been, they have alleviated a lot of the pressure on offensive linemen to be different from what they were in college. So now we have a damn near record number of offensive linemen could go off in the first round of this draft, which makes it attractive for other teams to trade down and say, all right, maybe we can get, you know, two great players or two good players instead of one great player early in the draft.
And that's always the discussion that we've been having throughout this process is it better to turn down a Joe Alt if he's Joe Thomas if you can get two really good players behind
Get Talese Fuaga and, you know,
Brian Thomas,
Troy Franklin, or Brian Thomas Jr. He is really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. He was the number two on LSU's receiving core. He is getting hyped like he could be number three receiver in this draft. At that point, if you are going to be drafted that highly, and he won't be in front of a Dunze, but there's some people that oddly enough say, we've heard Roma Dunze, some teams have him above Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm-hmm. Number one on their board.
Some teams have Bryant Thomas Jr. in front of Roma Dunze. Who the hell knows what's going on? If you ask
me,
it's still going to be the way we entered this thing. It is. Number one is Marvin Harrison Jr., then Malik Nabers, then Roma Dunze, then Bryant Thomas Jr., and then you have a whole host of receivers that are all going to be really damn good, whether it's, you know, a guy like, was it Xavier Worthy at Texas, A.D. Mitchell, also Texas. You have Troy Franklin, Xavier Leggett. You've got the Keon Coleman from Florida State. You've got really good receivers mm-hmm. up and down. Ladd McConkie from Georgia, who they're saying is like, you know, great route runner, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp
slot
type,
guy from hell,
who can just beat you in so many ways and then run right by you too. And you're like, where the hell did that come from? There's so many very good receivers in this draft. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, what's also going to be fun to watch is which team does or doesn't move up. As Ian Rappaport is reporting, the Commanders and Patriots have received calls from teams attempting to move up for a quarterback. Washington continues to show no interest in moving back. However, New England would move for the right offer, but the Pats just haven't got such an offer yet. On said offers, or I should say other offers around the NFL, John Lynch has also said that he expects to see Brandon Ayuk back at camp, and that they are not going to trade him.
He wishes that his wish is that he'll be a Niner for life.
Uh-huh. Which means the trade offers haven't been good enough yet, and we'll see how it looks on draft day.
No, 100%. That's what all of these teams are saying.
Let's go ahead and do the GM translation. And there's a reason why he hasn't been signed yet.
And here we are. It's Tuesday. The draft is Thursday. First pick is at 5 o'clock.
It'll be at 5:30.
What we are going to have... they start the clock at 5, so 5:10.
There you go.
5:10 will be your first pick.
Because the Bears are going to use all of it just because the NFL wants them for commercials.
I hate that so much. No. We know it's Caleb Williams. Hand the card in as fast
Pace
as you can.
Pace has already said, well, you have to wait till Thursday. It's like, okay, dude.
No, we know what you're doing. Yeah. Now, with the 9th pick, I don't know.
No.
But when you look at that, we won't know until Washington is on the clock how in love they are with Jaden Daniels. All the reports are they absolutely love him. He's going to be number two. A couple of weeks ago, it was they love Drake May. He's going to be at number two. The Patriots, they're in the market for a quarterback. We don't know if we want a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Could be Drake May. Could be Jaden Daniels. We don't know what we want. The Vikings, like, the only team that we know what they want right now is the Minnesota Vikings, who's like, no, we want to move up in the draft and get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. We want one of those guys.
Yeah. And then on top of that, Mike Garofalo has reported that, not surprisingly, the Raiders are among the teams who tested the Commanders on moving out of two.
Oh, boy.
Even after Washington GM Adam Peters told the media the team planned to stick and pick, sources say.
Boy.
Which...
okay.
No way. The Raiders reaching for an LSU quarterback who has issues? Can we not do this again?
If for you, this would suck. But for Washington, could make sense. They need a quarterback in a desperate way, though. And if you have your pick of whoever it's going to be, I don't know if you want to roll the dice there, because we know Caleb Williams is gone. So really, like, the number one pick is... it's the Washington Commanders at this point.
Yeah.
So you can just say, this is our guy. We're going to stick with him. Outside of, like, the top two quarterbacks, I think everybody else is like, unless they don't know whether Drake May or Jaden Daniels is better, right? Like, if you're in that position, then you go, okay, if we're torn on, let's make somebody else make that decision for us, yeah. And then we can get more draft capital in return to, you know, bolster the roster around him. If you're Washington, though, you have a number one wide receiver. You're solid there. You do have holes, but at the same time, you have a quarterback, a wide receiver number one. Go ahead and just take whoever you trust there at number two, and then you don't have to dance around were you unsure on who you wanted? Because that's what the question's going to be, is there's going to be this level, this cloud over whoever they draft if they trade back, that you didn't want, like, you were unsure of who that guy was going to be. It was QB2. Because you wouldn't have traded back if you didn't think that. We know they need a quarterback. You can't roll out this season with Marcus Mariota as your starting quarterback and say, yeah, new ownership, we're happy with it. We really want to win here. You have to get a quarterback. I think Washington does stay at 2, which means 3, 4, 5. Those, all the three of those picks, they are up for grabs. And I think, like, who knows who wants to jump up. And if Minnesota really does love Drake May, like, there is some of the reporting, they thought Drake May would just be gone. So they really dug in on J.J. McCarthy. But if they love Drake May, they may move up to 3. And you could see New England slide down to 11 and maybe take that 23rd pick, where if they need a quarterback and they need a wide receiver and everywhere on the offense, say,
their
guards
all of
are,
the things.
Their guards are okay. Their tackles are not. Their defense is pretty set, but Trent Brown is gone. He's now in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So your anchor left tackle is gone. You have a couple of young guys on the offensive line that they feel okay about. They have so many holes, though. Mm-hmm. When you have to, when you are saying our three needs are quarterback, receiver, and offensive line, that's not a good place to live.
if you're a betting man, which team moves up to 3? If the Patriots trade out, who are you taking?
The Giants.
Ooh.
The move isn't that much. They won't have to give up that much capital to do it. It's either the Giants or the Vikings.
That's the one I've seen of those two. The most in, like, the mock drafts,
because,
the last day or two.
Because they have 11 and 23 that they can offer, and it's this year, and you can fill those holes this year. Minnesota, but for the sake of New England, needs high-level talent, and you can still potentially get the number one tackle on the board if you slide back to 6. Then, sure, that makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. If you can get out of 3, pick up the number 6 pick, and then whatever picks you're going to be getting down the road, to get only 3 slots back and really fill the void that you need, I think that's maybe where you go. Because I think New England needs a quarterback, and if they can get 11 and 23, I think they'll go quarterback and, you know, offensive line there. But I think that they would feel comfortable with taking either offensive line at 6, and then they become in that conversation for Penix, Nix, another quarterback later in the round, early in the second round.
Okay. I'm praying the Raiders, I don't move up.
No.
Please, God, don't move up.
No. Please, I think please. Denver and Raiders both need to move back.
Please move back.
But moving up, maybe they got their guy. Maybe they love somebody at 3.
I feel like I'm going to be a sad panda on Thursday.
They trade up and they go and they get Marvin Harrison Jr. And you're like, wait, we're going to just have Devontae Adams and Marvin Harrison Jr., but
I'm playing
Gardner Minshew? No, Gardner Minshew.
True. We do have Gardner. God, man. Every time he does more media, I'm like, I love this guy.
He's the best.
He's so good.
He's a social media quarterback. Not the guy you want leading your team.
But boy, is he fun.
Yeah, sure is, Bob. Mm.
He's
sure
a big-ass boy.
He is a big-ass boy. He's a little-ass boy. He has that sweatshirt that says it.
It's true.
Out of context, that sweatshirt cannot be sold because...
Oh, no, it should. Absolutely should. We should put it up in our t-shirt market.
Yeah, dang.
Oh, the merch locker is open. Go to 1080thefan.com.
Click on the little drop down.
Yeah, got great t-shirts up there and more coming.
More coming. Ours is coming here soon. Bum. All right. Whoa. I was going to say something there. That's not going to work. Coming up next, which NBA road team is most primed to break the home team's hold on all the wins so far in the NBA playoffs? Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
The NBA playoffs push off. Another set of Game 2s tonight as the Phoenix Suns travel to Minnesota yet again to take on the Timberwolves, the Pacers on the road in Milwaukee, and the Mavericks on the road in Los Angeles taking on the Clippers. Fan man, which of these three teams, Suns, Pacers, Mavericks, are most likely to be the first road team to win a game in the NBA playoffs?
Ooh, just because it's tough. I want to say the Mavericks, but the Pacers are pulling me in right now.
Oh.
The Pacers are pulling me in right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, because Dame went nuclear in the first half of that game, and they kind of settled in a little bit. If they come out, if the Pacers come out and don't look rattled or like an inexperienced playoff team like they did, I think that game can be tight, and they have a puncher's chance. But I really do. I think it's the Mavericks. Mavericks is number one. But there is a poll to me saying it could be the Pacers because Giannis, obviously, he's been ruled out for this game. He was listed as doubtful. It's like, oh, well, wonder why he's out. Mm. And now we may not see him at all. Like, yeah. Game 5 is probably the earliest you could potentially see him, mm-hmm. and I don't even see that happening with the calf strain. So,
and again, there's a reason why I said I don't think we're going to see Giannis in the series.
Bucks, they do. I mean, if Dame goes cold, and we don't expect him to, because playoff Dame is a different animal, but we've seen it happen before. It can happen.
You got to rely on Middleton and Lopez, but yeah, I think you're going to get a shot for the Pacers. But for me, I think it's the Mavericks.
Yep.
That's
why I turned him on number one.
Yeah, I've got Mavs number one on this list. And I think they're going to come out and punch the Clippers in the face because I don't trust James Harden. As great as he can be, and he can drop 40. He can. He absolutely has the potential, but he also has the potential to be the worst playoff star you've ever seen.
And he looked like young James Harden in game one. He looked great. I do not like James Harden. He looked great in game one. But reliability. He is the most unreliable player in the playoffs. And the one thing that Clippers have going for them, though, it's not game six. It's only game two. That's usually when the disappearing act starts with James Harden, is around six. So I'm still going Mavericks. And the crazy part is that we've seen 11 straight games in the playoffs where the home team has won. 11 in a row, which is wild. The crazy thing, we're not saying anything about the Suns. Nobody believes in the Suns?
No.
No?
They're cooked.
You think so? Yeah. Dang. Yeah. All right. Well, that's sad. I'd like to see him make it a series and make a run at it. We had a couple of games that, I mean, look, the game ones, we only had two game ones that were the single digits. And last night, we had two dynamite games that came down to the wire, and I hope we get that again. I hope we get that again tonight.
I think we're going to get some sideways games tonight.
All right.
I think we're going to get some sideways games tonight. Absolutely. I think somebody's going to get blown off the floor.
Ooh.
I think the Mavs are going to take the Clippers to the woodshed.
You cannot have a worse first half from Kyrie and Luka than what they had in game one.
And I genuinely think that you're. What's funny is you still had the 33-point triple-double from Luka, and it was not a good game.
He's so good.
Like, and that's the thing is, like, I think he cleans that stuff up. I think Daniel Gafford had the Jarrett Allen, the lights were too bright award in game one. He had 3 points, zero rebounds.
Blah.
Don't expect to see Derek Lively Jr. in this game. Not only is he coming off the, was it ankle sprain, ankle or calf, but unfortunately the young man lost his mother.
Oh, man.
Too, while he's dealing with this. And he was incredibly close to her. So the 20-year-old kid is in a rough spot right now. So I wouldn't expect him back. And if he is, to be himself. And that does hurt this Mavs team, because the thing that has helped them so much was the addition of Derek Lively through the draft, PJ Washington, and Daniel Gafford, the trade deadline, is they had this constant size on the floor and constant rim pressure with lobs and being able to finish around the rim. But I also don't think you're going to have Maxey or Tim Hardaway Jr. just be complete ghosts.
Yeah.
So I think the Mavs are going to get out there and actually get it done tonight.
Check them up. DraftKings Sportsbook right now.
What do we got on any good odds here?
T-Wolves are -3, Bucks -1, and Clippers -1.5. So home teams all favored. Lines are really tight.
And I think that the start of the day, I think the Mavericks were favored by a point and a half.
That's because everybody's betting up the Mavs. And for those that are wondering, even in the playoffs, a home team is considered to be played up for 3-point favorites. If you're at home, that is the math essentially tells you you have a 3-point advantage. So if you see a home team -1.5, that usually means the other team, the team they're playing, the road team, is actually the favorite team.
Oh.
So just something to consider when you are perhaps, for entertainment purposes only, making wagers.
Over-unders have been low to start, too.
Yeah, what are we looking at for lines in these games? Because I would imagine the combined is probably not great.
211.5 for Phoenix and Minnesota.
Bucks Pacers is 223.
223.5, and then 216.5 for Mavs Clips.
What was that score? If I can ever get my thing to work here. Was that Sunday? Sunday's game was Bucks? Yeah. 109.94. That's... I know the Pacers play with the best pace and score the most points and all prolific offense, but it's the playoffs. 223 is a massive line.
It's a big number, but defense optional for most of the backcourt for the Milwaukee Bucks. Outside of Pat Bev coming off the bench, or I guess starting at times now.
There hasn't been a single game touch that.
Beasley is very bad on defense. There were times where he looked unplayable.
Well, look, I mean, there's a reason they went out and got Patrick Beverley. And again, one of the dirty secrets of the NBA in particular is that guys get guaranteed roles. In Portland, it was Carmelo Anthony getting
a
guaranteed starting spot and 15 shots a night. Malik Beasley took a nothing contract and was guaranteed a starting spot. And part of the deal behind that was, and that change and why Beverley ended up becoming the starter, was because that deal was promised under Adrian Griffin.
I was telling you, man, last night when they showed Carmelo sitting courtside and they're like, New York legend Carmelo Anthony in the building. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there going, "How Danny's going to take a victory lap if Philly wins this game," and just being like, this is what you get for putting Melo on the wood. Mm-hmm. You put feet on the floor. And this is what you get.
But
they found a way to win. Yeah, and he was on the floor celebrating with them all.
And it turns out they found a way to win, and that way was cheating.
Oh?
The last two-minute report is out from the NBA, and we'll dive into that next year. But here is the Big Kahuna himself, Jeff Rust.
Big Kahuna!
Sports
Network. You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
The thing that pisses off fan bases was released just momentarily ago. The NBA's last two-minute report. Well, 76ers fans, if you want to feel angry, because the NBA has indeed confirmed Tyrese Maxey was fouled.
Oh, no way. So what we all saw in real time was actually a foul?
Knicks fans saying, well, you know, was it the refs who grabbed the rebound and the refs who knocked down the shots? No, those things would not have happened. Mm-mm. Because if you call the foul there, Tyrese Maxey's at the free throw line.
Okay, well, but wait, there's more. They're saying that, so two fouls on Maxey on the inbound, and Nick Nurse should have been granted a timeout.
No, that he should not. Should
no,
not.
It says it should have, Tim Bontep says Nurse should have been granted a timeout.
That's weird, because the description right here is, let me pull it back up, where'd it go?
Yep.
I scrolled up and I lost it.
Also, there was a OG Anunoby should have been called for defensive 3 seconds on a previous possession in the final 2 minutes. And Joel Embiid should have been called for a foul on Dante DiVincenzo.
Hart cleanly steals the ball from Maxey. This is after the fouls. An attempt to call a timeout by Coach Nurse during this play is neither recognized nor granted by the officials. The timeout request is simultaneous to Hart making contact with the ball and Philly not having possession.
Okay.
So he can't make the timeout call.
Wow. Because I like everything that I've seen from Bontemps to Bleacher Report, they're all saying that he should have been.
Yeah, I think Bontemps might have read that wrong.
Oh.
I mean, this is what it says on the NBA document right now.
Yeah.
An attempt to call a timeout during this play is neither recognized nor granted by the officials. Now,
that indicates that it's not recognized or granted.
But it goes further to say the timeout request is simultaneous to Hart making contact with the ball and Philly not having possession.
Huh.
Therefore, it cannot be granted.
Interesting. Interesting there.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I'm reading it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have possession, you can't make the call.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think they're saying, look, Nurse made a request and maybe the refs didn't see it, but also it wasn't granted because there was no possession.
Yeah, all of these guys, all of the aggregators are now saying that he now should not have. You were right in that. All right. Derek Bodner.
Bodner, yep.
Yeah.
76ers.
Yeah. Yeah, he had initially reported that he should have been granted.
He read the first line and got really excited and didn't read the rest of the sentence. It happens. He's a 76ers guy, and he was probably like, see, they got double screwed. Actually, triple screwed. But yes, Jalen Brunson did grab and hold him. It should have been a foul. Josh Hart did bump him and hold him. That should have been a foul. Again, it was a subway shanking that the Knicks got away with, and it led to an opportunity for the Knicks to win.
Holy smokes.
But
if the foul's called, Nick Nurse doesn't need to call a timeout that wasn't recognized.
And they don't need to box out. I've seen some people say, well, Joel Embiid didn't box out Hartenstein. No, Joel Embiid did what every big's supposed to do. Find the nearest body and seal. And it's Josh Hart, who had 14 rebounds.
That's a good guy to find. They weren't finding him any other point in the game, so that'd be a good time to do it. And people aren't giving it credit, but Dante DiVincenzo
having the
draining
stones
that three.
To take that shot after just missing it.
Yeah, and then just like, boom. Buckets. Jay Wright was doing something right at Villanova, man. How many guys has he turned into either a star, like Jalen Brunson is a star now, who's performing horribly right now.
Incredibly good role player.
All incredibly good role players who just are gritty, tough.
Kyle Lowry, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, and just Mikhail
have
Bridges.
Ice water through their veins. Like, no matter the situation, they are just there and at the ready. It truly is. It's fun to see those Villanova guys because they're all, like everybody who says, they're all the same at Villanova. Yeah, they are. And they're all the same when they get to the NBA too. It's whatever it was that he was identifying and nurturing at Villanova, it worked. And it's not working anymore with Kyle Neptune at Villanova either because they don't look the same. They don't have the same. That's the most impressive thing about what Bobby Hurley or Danny Hurley is doing at UConn is that his team looks like the vein of Jim Calhoun and what he built and laid as the foundation of what UConn basketball is. And they took it to Kevin Ollie. Ollie won a national title, then fell on his face. But then Danny Hurley took exactly what Jim Calhoun wanted and has made it into a juggernaut. Jay Wright built this gritty, tough, hard-nosed team with dudes that are all like 6'4", but have tree trunks for legs and they just play their asses off.
You know who you set the foundation with?
And it's amazing. Hoomst.
Trailblazers legend Dante Cunningham.
Hey, hey, hey. And Dante Cunningham fits that too. But he's not nearly as successful as all these other guys.
There's a lot of college guys. I'm going through the list of like the college guys that have gone on to play in the NBA, and it's a pretty good list.
Did Dante Cunningham change his last name?
No, that was
who is that?
That was Jeff Pendergraf.
Jeff Pendergraf.
Yeah, Jeff Pendergraf. Yeah, he changed his name.
Yeah,
that was confusing. I still don't. Obviously,
Jeff Ayers now.
Jeff Ayers.
That's right, yeah, because he took his mom's last name, is that right?
I think that's what it was, yeah. But yeah, because Pendy. Everybody called him Pendy.
Yeah. You can't do that anymore.
Ayersy? Yeah, it kind of works.
Yeah, it works.
Jeffy?
No.
Just don't.
Actually. Jeffy.
Jeffy.
I hate you guys so much.
Jeffy. You don't mean that, Jeffy.
Something tells me you've had this one come up before.
Maybe.
No? Nothing?
I got a lot of problems with you people!
It's okay, Jeffy.
It's okay, Jeffy.
Who's a good boy? Jeffy is.
I didn't know where to work this in, but I figured we need to get to it.
Gotta hit you.
At least for a split second. Have you dove into the Timberwolves ownership stuff?
No.
Oh, it's absolutely insane, and when you actually get into the nitty-gritty of it, Glenn Taylor is unhinged. Like, we knew he was a bad owner.
Okay.
He is because Glenn Taylor's a former senator. So, again, former politician.
You're a good guy.
You know, just a horrible human being.
Oh, okay.
So, apparently, the minority owners that bought into the Timberwolves.
Politician get all that money.
Right? It's weird how that happens.
Okay, go ahead.
They have a threshold guaranteed payout of only 4% return each year. It doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't change. It's locked in. No interest, no nothing. Okay, which is it's unheard of. Beyond that, when he started selling his shares to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie to transition the next prospect, he was the only one cashing out shares. None of the minority owners have been able to cash out before him.
Oh.
So he was the only one liquidating shares. And then there was at the last transitionary period, which would have made Laurie and Rodriguez majority shareholders at 36% and him at 34%, because it was 70% controlling share. He secretly bought 2.9% back of the team. So that when this thing went to arbitration, which is doing, he would be the majority shareholder. He found somebody that was loyal to him to sell him back the majority shares.
That's not legal.
Technically legal. because it...
Without approval of the rest of
He doesn't have
ownership?
To because it was because it hadn't
Boy,
taken place yet.
That is gnarly. That's some skeezy stuff.
Yes.
Well, go Timberwolves, huh?
Yes. But also, it turns out that, in fact, that Rodriguez and Laurie were broke boys and they didn't have the money.
Well.
Because they went to the...
Who'd have thunk it?
The Carlyle Group, which we've heard them come up before, and they were found to be not a viable source because of the income streams that they generate that they would have to liquidate in order to get the money.
Yeah, I'm lost.
Guess who's invested in that? NBA players.
Oh, can't do that.
So it's a Ponzi scheme.
Well, look at that.
I know this there is was a super lot. Inside baseball.
Yeah.
But the way this thing is unfolding, it's getting worse and worse by the day.
That's not.
Which, if you're the Timberwolves, here's another part of this. Tim
That's
Connelly,
not surprising.
Who has been responsible for building the Timberwolves to kind of what they are, when they lured him away from Denver, he was given what was called ghost equity, which means he was given a pay scale. He was guaranteed $8 million a year, which the current owner was against paying that much. But also, the ghost equity was your additional performance pay is based off of the valuation of the franchise, which if you're winning, means it goes up, which means you get more money. Glenn Taylor didn't want that, so he had that stricken from the contract. But they were still able to lure Connelly away with an early out clause, which happens to be this year. So the Timberwolves could have built all of this with Tim Connelly, drafting Anthony Edwards, bringing in Rudy Gobert, bringing in Mike Conley, getting them positioned to be a force in the Western Conference, and the GM that helped do it and helped right all of their wrongs that has been there for 40 years could just be like, you know what? You're all nuts. I'm gone. And walk away from the table.
Sounds like a team that's run by a politician. I mean, we ended at the same place that we started. It sounds like a team run by a politician.
Tell me this isn't just insane.
It is. It's a lot of information, but it is insanity. And yeah, that's why Glenn Taylor is regarded as one of the worst owners in the NBA, and has for a long time.
And this is why I always tell people, it can always be worse.
Wasn't his right-hand man David Kahn?
Yes, who ran a team after specializing in running a newspaper. The Oregonian.
Yeah, he tried to bring baseball to Portland. He's part of that group.
Yeah, was that the one that actually tried to bring baseball to Portland, or the one that was basically a Ponzi scheme?
I don't think... I think they actually did try.
Okay. Because there was another group in between that group and MLB to PDX where it never really got off the ground because they were just taking money.
Well, yep. Yeah, I don't know who
Oh, no way.
Oh, no way.
But yeah, I just thought it was interesting because I had to find a way to work that in because it... Like, it was probably a 20-minute read, and it was like, oh, each section just got worse.
Sounds about right.
For everyone involved.
Yeah. And now he's into Big Chicken, where people are gluing themselves to the floor because of his chicken farms.
Which...
Those are the great protests.
Yeah, because we had
somebody... I'm going to glue myself to a floor.
Somebody handcuffed themselves to the basket first and then glued themselves to the floor.
That's going to work. They're never going to get me off this floor. Oh, wow. That was easy. It got me off this floor really quickly.
Well, that's weird. There's a handprint still on the floor.
Huh. Imagine that.
What if the fire department just came over there and just ripped their, like, glued hand off?
I don't think anybody would be upset about that.
Just a handprint stuck to the floor.
Just like, yep, well, got him away. Here we go. Back to basketball.
Little ass tone, and there we go. All right, coming up next, we'll get ready to hand you off to Isaac Kasuki here on Danny and Dusty. Danny the Fan.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
You know, I love portal season. If for nothing else, is we've got the comment from Cormani McClain going after Deion Sanders in Colorado saying he doesn't want to play for clicks or wants to play for more than clicks. But also you have former USC wide receiver Kyle Ford, who transferred to UCLA last season, is now transferring back to USC, and he has a year of eligibility left on his collegiate career, and he was asked for comment about going back and forth between the two LA schools. He said, "My fault, I was tripping."
Hey, there we go. At least some honesty there. At least some honesty with the portal. Well, the portal taketh away from Colorado again, too.
What's the number up to now?
22.
Holy crap, that's a whole offensive defense.
Dylan Edwards is entering the portal.
Oh, the skittery, jittery little scat back running back, huh?
The young man that when he originally like committed to Texas or Kansas State said, I'm not a guy who's going to go to the portal or decommit or anything like that. I'm going to stick with my commitment. So then he decommitted from Kansas State, committed to Colorado, and is now 1 year later in the portal, everybody. And Colorado fans, don't listen to them. They will tell you it's because they picked up a commitment from Dallin Hayden, the running back from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years at Ohio State,
how many
Dallin
yards?
Hayden had 40 more yards than Dylan Edwards had in one season at Colorado. Dallin Hayden also only played his first year because of the litany of injuries to their running back room. And then this past year, they only played him in three games so they could redshirt him. Dylan Edwards came in and he was electric in the return game. He was the shining spot down the stretch of the season for Colorado because he is jittery, he is quick, and he's entered the portal. Their other running back, he entered the portal yesterday. So now we've also seen the two gems of Deion's first class, or two of the gems from his first class of high school recruiting at Colorado, five-star corner Kermani McLean and now Dylan Edwards, both gone. And they're saying, like, Kermani McLean couldn't play, he wasn't very good, all that stuff. They're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
When the guys are running, they're all saying the same thing, which is, we're not getting developed like we thought we were. It was supposed to be, you know, this environment where
it's Firefest, but for college football,
we're bringing everybody in. But, and here's the thing, Deion hasn't like lied to any of them because what did he say in his first meeting with players? Very first one.
Was it the I'm bringing Louie?
I'm bringing Louie. Huh. Like, we're bringing guys in that are going to be better.
Yeah.
And he has the NFL mentality, which is, my job is to bring in guys that replace you.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's up to
your job is to be a guy who cannot be replaced, right? That's
be
the old
adage. Be a professional
adage.
And develop yourself.
That's the adage in the NFL is, yeah, my job's to replace you, your job is to be irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. That's what they say in the NFL all the time. He's using that in college, but now guys are like, I don't have a five-year contract.
Yeah.
Bye. Deuces. And I'm out because it's not what they thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I still hope Deion works.
I do too.
It's just not going well. I mean, you can't
let's
have
see if there's an adjustment in year three.
Can't have this level of turnover. Got to recruit high school kids, too. But now, once he enters the portal, it'll be 22. 22.
Quick cursory look. Dylan Edwards, 4.38 40.
That's very fast.
Super fast.
It's very fast. Like speed. Maybe Deion was like, I don't want a guy who's that fast.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to threaten my speed.
Yes.
And I don't want that. I don't want that.
I got to be the fastest guy here.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow from noon to 3. Up next, you got
don't
4 hours.
Me.
4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you Wednesday.
Thanks, Jeffy. Bye.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes.
If I can ever get my thing to work here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.